Good afternoon, and welcome to Night Talk. I'm Joe Murphy, and I'm joined for this afternoon show by my co-host and also boss here at Holy Family Radio, Mr. Joe Nabosinski. Good afternoon, Joseph.
Good afternoon. Thanks for being here, Joe.
We're
glad you're back. We missed you when you were on your vacation. So.
Well, you know, I needed some downtime, and it was all good. At any rate, let us begin, as we always do, with our prayer to St. Michael. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. St. Michael, the Archangel, defend us in battle.
Be our defense against the wickedness and snares of the devil.
May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the heavenly host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world, seeking the ruin of souls. Amen.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Hey, it was a busy week while you were gone. We did a lot of things last week without you. But this past week was certainly an exciting week also. We had the Tunnel to Towers Foundation came with their mobile museum from 9/11. And it was at Trinity High School, and we got some audio we're going to share with you, some interviews today on the show. So the first thing we're going to start with is Mike Creevy. Mike Creevy is a volunteer here at Holy Family Radio. He's a Knight of Columbus. He's a Trinity High School teacher. And he's a theology teacher there. He's an all-around great guy. He was a former student of mine when I was a teacher. Ian Mattis is going to be doing an interview with him. Ian is also one of our volunteers and producers here at Holy Family Radio. Mike Creevy is the Patriot Club club advisor at Trinity. And so he's going to talk a little bit about this event that we just witnessed here this past week. So that's kind of what we're going to do in the very first segment here. So, Joe, if you want to cue up that recording, we're going to go to that recording right now.
All righty, let me push some buttons here and we'll get going.
So, Mike Creevy, theology teacher at Trinity High School.
And you're also the advisor for the Patriots Club.
And yes, yeah, the Patriots Club advisor, kind of club moderator. So, yeah.
And it's my understanding that the Patriot Club had a lot of to bring this year. They did a lot to bring this year. Can you tell me a little bit about that effort?
Well, and I don't know if she might not want me to bring her up, but yet again, she got a lot of press here tonight, but she deserves it. But Anita Adam did so much to pull this together. And Anita, her son Chris, graduated from Trinity last school year, the 2022-2023 school year. Or not this year, sorry, 2021-2022. And Chris and Anita, basically just wonderful people and very committed to our community, very committed to veterans causes, first responders support, and that kind of stuff, and wanted to have this club here at Trinity to do outreach for those groups and to visit grave sites, put the flags out, put the wreaths out at Christmas time, that kind of stuff. And so we do different things throughout the year, and she really brought this together kind of out of nowhere. I don't know where all the contacts came from, but this came up pretty last minute, she pulled it off, and our guys really stepped up. Our club members got a pretty strong sophomore and junior group right now that is giving me some hope about the leadership moving forward. So they did it. I mean, they set everything up, everything we needed for the ceremony. They emceed it really well, and have just really been really inspiring to see, you know.
So tell me a little bit about that, you know, as far as the students' involvement.
Well, we had, I think, honestly, it was only about a couple weeks notice, you know, and this kind of came together pretty quick. A lot of corresponding had to be done in the community with the local police department, fire department. Anita was handling a lot of that. And then in-house, I just started, kind of reaching out to the club. I didn't have a lot to give them up front, and they all just volunteered and stepped up. They came up with the idea for doing some kind of bake sale here to kind of support our club as well, just to see if people wanted to get some water and cookies while they're here as well. And they're here to answer questions people might have about the club. But and we were just commenting too, we had some sound issues earlier, the mic kept cutting out, and some of the veterans around here were really impressed with their ability to just sort of handle that on the spot and just kind of keep going through the ceremony. And I'm looking over here as I'm recording this, we got some guys on kind of crowd control because they only need about 25 per group coming through. So it's I don't know how many we've got here. It's a lot of folks, and we're going to have a couple shifts of these students here, probably about 10 or 15 of them total that are volunteering to come here and help with this.
Do you want to share any personal memories you have from that day?
Yeah, I was in physics class. I was a senior in high school, and we had actually had, I went to Northern York, And we had had a bizarre string my junior year into senior year of basically fake bomb threats. Just someone, I don't know if they ever found out who it was, but we kept getting interrupted all the time and had to go over to the stadium and all this. And so this was this kind of annoying, but it might be serious, you know, kind of thing had been happening a lot, unfortunately. And school starting, and the bell goes off, you know, the announcement bell goes off. And I'll never forget my physics teacher, probably just assuming it was another one of these fake bomb threats that, of course, you need to take very seriously, but someone's messing around, you know, just spins around and throws his chalk up at the clock and the sort of announcement speaker and the clock, and the chalk, you know, busts up into a bunch of pieces. And, you know, then they come on, and much to our surprise, of course, they just announced that there has been a commuter plane has hit the North Tower of the World Trade Center, and we're looking at each other like, what? And we didn't have the TVs in the classroom and everything, so, you know, we didn't know what's going on. And my teacher, now that I'm a teacher, I kind of understand this approach. He just went back to teaching physics. You know, he didn't have anything to say about it. I'm like, let's just see what's happening. But gradually, as the day goes on, we start hearing more and more of what's going on. And for myself and for a lot of my friends who were thinking very seriously at the time, or were already on the sort of trajectory of military service in some way, shape, or form, it really was this shocking, eye-opening thing. Like the confusion over it, the fear, the righteous indignation, like, you know, all these emotions running through a 17-year-old kid. But I've reflected a lot today, going through it with my class. You know, 22 years later, after which, you know, I entered into military service myself. I was in the Army for 12 years, and that whole time was so shaped by things that this kicked off. You know. And I couldn't help but thinking about that a lot today, seeing these kids who don't have any experience of it, who were born, most of them, several years now afterwards. I think our oldest students were born in 2004 now. It was really interesting and special for me today as a teacher, as a veteran, as someone who remembers this so intimately from being, you know, so impacted by it in my own way as a senior in high school, seeing this setting, you know, of them now going through and getting to witness it, it's been really enlightening and an impressive experience.
Are you a knight too?
I am. Yeah.
Okay. Your council and
it's so. I should have that memory. Is it council 4068? Is that Elizabeth Ann Seton's council? I'm pretty sure I should know that. I can look it up and we can edit that later. No, but yeah, council 4068, Elizabeth Ann Seton. I think it's Our Lady of Queenship council there, okay. Over Elizabeth Ann Seton.
And so you said, like, this happened prior, but you already had thoughts about taking a military path. Is there any, do you have any recollection about how this might have shaped you toward, to further your career in the,
yes,
you know, which branch, you know, as far as the branch you went into?
Right. Yes, I think I was really seriously thinking about the military as early as, like, probably beginning a sophomore year, so a few years before this. And I was already on that path. I was applying for the Naval Academy, applying for different ROTC programs. I ended up going into Army ROTC in Washington, D.C. But it shaped everything, really. I mean, we were actually supposed to go the next day. My dad and I, we had gone a couple times because I was interested in politics and government stuff. We'd gone to D.C. a bunch. And we were supposed to be in D.C. on, I guess it was Wednesday, right, September 12th, 2001. We're going to go to a U.S.-China commission panel or something, like these open kind of committee meetings and stuff that you could sit in on and hear about all kinds of, you know, different global affairs and stuff. Needless to say, we had to, you know, cancel that visit. And so this was something that affected me a lot. I think I was drawing on the board today for the students. You know, if you put a dot in Shanksville, one in D.C., one in New York, and draw that triangle. I mean, our Harrisburg area here, you know, is right in the middle of that triangle. So I remember thinking, you know, I've seen military movies. I've talked to veterans of foreign wars. I've talked to, you know, people in the military now about their experiences. But, like, everything's different now. And whatever the path ahead is for us, for my generation, these guys, this is going to be the thing that kind of opened this whole new chapter. And that did play out. I mean, conflicts that weren't going on at the time, right? You know, Afghanistan opens up right after that. I was not there, but a lot of my friends were, a lot of my relatives. I deployed to Iraq in 2008. I was there for a year. My brother was there before me. He went there again after me. Cousins deploying to Afghanistan and you know, friends. I lost classmates, you know. And so I think for me, it was the process of it becoming kind of theory, becoming other people's experience too. This is mine, you know, like that my experience is forever intertwined with this event in a way that, you know, there's just no way to explain it to mm-hmm. somebody else, of course. But, you know, that's, I guess that's how life is too, right?
Yeah.
All these things that shape us, so.
So, because you have your own show on YouTube that
yep.
does a lot of faith issues and mm-hmm. everything. So, how has an event like this and the aftermath of things, has that also shaped your faith journey and your Catholicism?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And it's hard to say, you know, it's hard to pinpoint it, right? You know, because I would say it's there's of course steps along the way, you know. I don't really remember too much about what I was thinking from a faith perspective that day. Interestingly enough, I remember it was a Tuesday, so it was the closing ceremonies, I guess, but the closing for 40 hours at our parish, 40 hours devotion, and Father Scanlon was the principal celebrant that night. And I remember he had a very passionate sort of impromptu homily that was very different from the homily he had written, of course, you know, probably for the night before, and in the wake of that, and we were performing, right? My dad and I and some others, we were playing trumpet. You know, we did that a lot at the parish at the time. So, you know, performing that night was challenging, was difficult because you had so many questions. You didn't know where things were headed. Questions that of course come up, how is the magnitude of evil, this magnitude of evil possible? I don't think it ever really made me specifically question my faith, but I took it a lot more seriously, I'd say, you know, and just seeing, like I said, the change from theory to, like, there's, I have friends, I have classmates, people ahead of me who, you know, have a chance of losing their lives, and then seeing that in fact play out in the next few years, you know, it made me pray differently. I think it made me, as I grew more interested in theology in college, you know, academically and that sort of thing, and saw that path, you know, kind of developing in front of me, it certainly, the reality of suffering, the reality of evil, you know, it's there was no theory anymore about that. And, you know, you had these tangible things in your own experience to kind of measure that against, and difficult conversations too, you know, other people who lost faith, understandably, but to try to meet those folks in conversation the best you could to recognize that people struggling with faith over something like this is understandable. You know, and that it's not something you can just tell someone to suck it up, you know, like to be able to go deeper into that pain and that suffering with folks and just to be there for them sometimes, you know, and that I think I learned a lot through that.
We'll be back right after these messages. And welcome back to Night Talk. I'm Joe Murphy, and I'm joined for today's show by my boss, Joe Nevesinski. And we had an interview with Mike Creevy, the first segment, about the traveling 9/11 memorial.
Yeah, and we're going to continue. We have a couple of interviews we're going to do on the second half here. The first one is going to be the Trinity High School principal, John Kaminsky. He's going to talk a little bit about that 9/11 mobile museum event that they had. After that, you're going to hear from Greg Michalichek. He's a really active member of Knights of Columbus. And then we're going to speak with State Senator Mike Regan, and he's going to talk about his experience. He was actually in the area in New York when 9/11 happened. So he has an interesting perspective, personal perspective, beyond what that museum has. And I'll tell you what, the museum is part of the Tunnel to Towers Foundation. And it is a really fantastic organization. They do a lot of things, but the mobile museum is really the cool thing. It's a tractor trailer that transforms into a three-room museum, and the museum is staffed by actual 9/11 veteran firemen who actually provide firsthand accounts of the events that day, and they give tours to the public. So it's something that it's really amazing that the Knights of Columbus were able to help bring this to our area? Because I know there were several organizations involved, and the Knights of Columbus were at the forefront in making sure that this thing was able to be at Trinity last week. So let's go to that recording right now. We're going to actually have, we'll have 3 minutes in a row. It'll be John Kaminsky, the principal at Trinity, Greg Mikulajczyk, Knight of Columbus, and then Senator Mike Regan. So you want to cue that up, Joe?
We are going to push some magic buttons and see what happens. How's that?
Sounds like a plan.
Tell me a little bit about bringing this event here. I understand it was a very short period.
We have a very vibrant Patriots Club here on campus. Mike Creevy is the moderator, and our apparent leader is Anita Adam. And Anita was very interested in seeing Trinity host the Tunnels to Towers mobile exhibit. And so she approached me about it, and we just thought it was a really good idea. And we managed to get it here in a pretty short amount of time. We had a number of sponsors make it happen financially, and that was a blessing.
So tell me some of the logistics. What did it take, or are you not involved?
I'm involved. They are here for, it's open to the public for 2 days. So we have two firemen that are here with us. We have a police officer that is here with us, retired from the New York Police Department. So we had to have them put up in a local hotel. The exhibit collapses into a tractor trailer. And so, we had to rearrange our day, our parking, our schedules. There was a fair amount to do in a high school of our size to get it here, but it's all worth it. And the kids really responded positively today. Today was our first day, so we had about half the student body go through. Many of them don't know a whole lot about the event. The event was 22 years ago. So it was very powerful for them to see the relics, to see the physical remains, to see and speak with people who were there, who had a role in it, living history. It was very powerful.
Would you like to share some of your memories of that day?
Well, my day began, I had first period free. So during that time, I was down in the faculty lounge with a gentleman, Jim McGovern, who was in the Air National Guard, 193rd Special Ops. And we saw the second plane hit the tower. It was live. Of course, the first one had already happened, and so they were broadcasting from New York at the time when the second one hit. And then we went about our school days. I gave a test in American history that day, ironically. But most of the day was spent with the television on in every classroom, watching the horrible events of the day transpire. Looking back on it, we would probably do things a little bit differently, but we were all watching when buildings came down and people lost their lives. And it was a horrific moment for our nation, for our kids, that everybody involved, of the people that were responding. It's unbelievable to have these people here with us right now who were there on site, to have them speak about their experience. It's really powerful.
So state your name for...
My name is Gregory Mikulajczyk, Knights of Columbus, Council 12788.
Hey, tell me a little bit about how the Knights got this to come here.
Well, we got involved basically because we got to have insurance to do stuff outside of the church, and everything like that is mandatory. So we've worked with our insurance agent to get, and all the background check, to get what we needed to have this covered. Otherwise, they wouldn't have been able to make it.
Okay.
So.
And what brings you here today?
The thing. I mean, it's all about, I mean, I remember the day this happened, and I'm part of it. I mean, I know where I was the day it happened, and I want to see and be part of this and teach my daughter, because she wasn't here when it happened.
So what brings you here?
Well, I mean, they asked me to come, number one, but I have a special attachment to 9/11, because I was there. Not on the 9/11, but in the aftermath of 9/11. And, I kind of saw what all those firefighters and the first responders went through during that period of time. It's incredible. And it's meaningful to our history as a country. And any time that, it's hard for me a little bit to walk down memory and anything like that, because it was an emotional time. Tunnels to Towers came in and stepped up and raised a bunch of money and spread it out to the families who desperately need it. And they do that continually to this day, where they're helping families, law enforcement, first responders who were killed in the line of duty, helping their families, military, homeless military, so many valuable things that they do. It deserves my attention, deserves my support, and that's why I'm a donator, and I believe in this program. That's why I'm here today.
Okay. Would you like, I know you have some of the speech you made, the formal speech you made. Do you have some other memories you'd like to share with us on? that day?
Let me think if there's anything I didn't mention. Well, I mean, when the act of the day on 9/11, I was we'd made an arrest and we brought him into the courtroom, federal court, and I was getting through an earpiece, you know, what was going on. And since we were in a federal building, we were a little concerned because the one plane had not been accounted for, and it was last headed towards Pennsylvania. So we were concerned. Not that we thought that a federal courthouse or federal building in Harrisburg would be a target, but there was a scrambling around trying to, you know, trying to make sure people were removed from the site and that it was safe. But it was it's kind of, you know, we grew up as kids from the Cold War, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, we were in the midst of something that was really, really big and cataclysmic and something that was deeply impacting to everybody in our country. And it was just that, and then ultimately ended up at Newark Airport and at the site. It was a time that I don't really like to think about, but I was, in some strange way, I'm happy that I was able to, even though my contribution was minimal, I was glad I was able to serve in that way for that brief period of time.
If you're talking to your constituents, what would you tell them about this display and how important it is to them to come? And
yeah, I know. I think it's. I was talking to one of the local police chiefs who said that he's guys that are coming on to the job now as police officers don't. All they know it is from the history books. They have no recollection of it. So it's amazing how fast time passes. So I think it's important that this next generation understands. You know, like we as kids heard about Pearl Harbor. And I think unless you go to Hawaii and go to the memorials, you can't really get a feel for it. So the fact that there's a traveling memorial to that fateful day, so people who don't remember it or just remember from the history books can see this, see it, feel it, touch it, reach out and really grasp it, I think that's valuable, really valuable.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Appreciate your time.
Good to see you. Wow, some amazing talks there. Really, really an amazing experience. The Tunnel to Towers, their website, by the way, is T2T.org. So it's T2T.org. Their mission, by the way, is to try to support the legacy of one of the firefighters who lost their life that day. His name is Stephen Stiller. And so for over 20 years, the Tunnel to Tower Foundation has honored his legacy by supporting heroes who continue to risk their life and limb in the line of duty. So they have great accountability. 95% of their fundraising dollars went directly to their programs in 2022. 2.5% went to fundraising, and 2.5% went to management in general. So they're a really great organization, and we need to support them. They do all kinds of things. They have a homeless program for veterans. They have a smart home program for people who are veterans also. They have a fallen first responder program. They have a Gold Star family program. They have a lot of things that are really, really we need to bring to the forefront. So, and a lot of our younger people don't know about it.
No, when you think about when 9/11 happened, Joseph, the youngsters today that are seniors in college were in babies in diapers back then.
That's right.
Think about that.
And the kids at Trinity, they weren't even born yet.
No, they were not.
It's an amazing, I know I'll never forget that day. None of it, it's one of those days that we will never forget what we were doing when we heard about this tragedy. I know I was teaching that day, and I was actually driving around between our schools. We were collecting data from physically driving around to their schools before we were using email.
Yes.
So we were getting data from the elementary schools that day, myself and two of my colleagues, and we came back from the elementary schools and we visited the middle school, and our middle school band director said, "Can you believe this news?" And we said, "We don't know what you're talking about." So we immediately turned on the radio, and we were quickly informed about what had happened. And that was actually after the second tower had gone down. So immediately we went back to the high school, to our offices at the high school, and we turned on the TV, and then we were kind of in shock the rest of the day. At our elementary schools, they didn't tell the young students. They didn't tell anybody at our elementary schools. The high school students all knew because You know, it's hard to keep anything from high school students.
No, yeah. You're right there.
So their parents, our school went insane with parents coming to pick up their students, their children, because the parents wanted to be with their kids. So everyone left work and came and picked up their kids. It was a big logistical problem at our school district. I taught in Northern York County School District. And schools all over didn't know how to deal with it. It was something we had never dealt with before.
Right.
So.
Nobody had ever experienced anything like that. And what amazed me about that is, like, everything stopped at work.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the phones weren't quiet. You could have heard a pin drop in the offices. But they brought in a big screen TV and turned it on. And when you had your lunch hour or your break, you could go down in front and you see a little bit of the commentary. But it's something we should never, ever forget. Ever.
Yeah, and the problem is if we don't educate our younger people about it, they will.
They will. You know? It'll go away.
And somebody said in one of the interviews about how it's kind of like our Pearl Harbor. It is, and it's interesting. Most of us have a connection with somebody or somehow or something that day with one of the planes that crashed.
Yeah.
So it was a horrible experience.
Well, with that, I'm going to say for Joe Nowosinski, I'm Joe Murphy. Thank you for listening. Stay safe out there. God bless.